Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the media callback with Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food, Lawrence McAuley, regarding his recent trade mission to Germany, Belgium, and Italy. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Minister Lawrence McAuley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul, and hello, everyone. Bonjour tout le monde. It's great to get a chance to update all of you on my mission to the EU. Our government knows that trade is vital to our agriculture and industry. That's why, whenever we can, we get on the road to meet our trading partners in key markets around the world. This time, we're in Europe, the single largest market for food in the world. During this mission, we spent a lot of time with representatives of the Canadian agriculture and food sector. As you know, CETA is now in effect. On September the 21st, tariffs on virtually all our agricultural exports to Europe dropped to zero. This means a competitive advantage for agriculture and agri-food and seafood products. Industry estimates up to $1.5 billion a year in the new business for our farmers and food processors. Through budget 2017, our government set an ambitious target to export at least $75 billion of agri-food products by 2025, and CETA is going to help us reach that target. Last week, we were in Germany, Wissen & Anuga, which is the world's largest food show. Canada has significant presence there with close to 40 agri-food companies at the Canadian Pavilion. We partnered with industry and provinces to showcase our Canadian food at a networking events. For the rest of the mission, we have been in Italy for meetings with the G7 agriculture, the Italian grain and pasta industry, who are strong advocates for Canada, and the food and agriculture organization. Our meeting of the G7 ministers looked at a number of pressing issues, including risk management, food security, and migration. G7 ministers agreed that the best way to fight world hunger is to strengthen the family farm. Today, we're in Rome, along with G7 ministers, for a special meeting of the Food and Agricultural Organization, marking the World Food Day. World Food Day is celebrated every October the 16th, the same day, and the Food and Agricultural Organization was founded in Quebec City way back in 1945. The theme this year is Global Migration Crisis. My message to those attending was that open trade and access to innovation are vital. They will create the conditions for farmers to stay at home, build their businesses, and feed their families and the nations. Our keynote speaker was His Holiness Pope Francis I, whom I was very thrilled to meet in person. So it was a very productive visit. Our goal was to get CETA out of the gate and working for our farmers and food processors. We have an ambitious export targets over the coming decade and a couple of key trade missions lined up for the fall. Our government will continue to make trade a priority for our farmers. Thank you very much, merci beaucoup. Now I'll take your questions, please.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone line. The first question is from Corey Knott from Golden West Radio. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Minister. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Just wondering if you wanted to get your reaction on the dairy proposal made by the U.S. over the weekend in regards to NAFTA.
Well, of course, as you're fully aware, I've stated from day one that we have an excellent system in place. It's a system that we fought to put in place, and I indicated quite clearly our government is going to fight to make sure it stays in place. It's a model for the world, and that's in fact where we are. And to deal with anything else is simply a non-starter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Bruce Cochran from farmscape.ca. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Minister McAuley. Where, with regards to CETA, where do discussions stand pertaining to unresolved technical issues that affect Canadian access for pork and beef to Europe, i.e. the provision which requires the EU health mark to be applied at the production plant and the use in Canada of antimicrobial treatments that have not been approved in the European Union.
Thank you very much, Bruce. And, of course, we had a great meeting in Parma, Italy. We had the Canadian meat and beef sector there, and our Italian importers were both there. So that was a good start. I'd met with a number of ministers, including Minister Hogan, and I also met with the VP of the EU, Kurt Tiny, and also the Commissioner Andrew Kotaitis. And these people, we brought the issues forward. Certainly brought up that the EU components of Belgium, we will continue. We had great meetings with Italy here, and of course it gave me a great opportunity meeting all the ministers here in the EU in order to bring up the issues that we had. But in Parma, Italy, we had the Canadian producers or producer representatives meet with the beef and pork importers. It was really the first time they got together, and I think it was an excellent time. As I always said, if you look with our business partners eye to eye, you can resolve issues. There's always going to be issues, and we had a number of issues to bring up, and they had some issues to bring up. But obviously, we opened doors for the farmers, and we'll continue to work hard on any of the issues that are there. But it's obvious that both sides are quite interested in making sure that this is a very successful venture. As you know, it opens the doors for agriculture about $1.5 billion extra, which is to great importance to our GDP and very important to our agricultural sector. I feel it's my job to help open markets, but particularly in Parma, it was great to have the purchasers and the producers looking eye to eye, and they'll be talking back and forth too. Government can help, but they have to work a lot of things out themselves too. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your question.
And a follow-up question, given the state of the NAFTA renegotiation, just how important does that make trade agreements with Europe and other regions? Just how important does that make trade in other regions?
Well, as you're no doubt fully aware too, we got as good of farmers and ranchers as there is in the world. There's going to have to be more food produced. The population is going to increase by 2 or 3 billion within the next 30 years. Somebody is going to feed those people, and we have to find the markets and make sure that people fully understand that we have a system, we have the ability to produce the food. Now, this will be an ongoing, it would all happen tomorrow. But like anything else here, we had to make sure that we had, as I said, the sector and importers together. But it's important for both sides to realize that this opportunity is there. I think also, Bruce, it's very important for people in Europe to understand our regulatory process and how well our food is accepted worldwide. We have a science-based regulatory system. Most people in the world fully believe that when you see the maple leaf on the package, that food is safe to eat. We have to produce more. The opportunities are there, and we're going to realize them. I appreciate your questions, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Calvin Heppner from Real Agriculture. Please go ahead.
Hello, Calvin. Thanks for taking my call.
I'll always take your call, Calvin.
Appreciate it. Staying in Italy, or going back to talking about your meetings in Italy, any progress on the country of origin labeling issue there when it comes to their pasta and Canadian durum exports to Italy?
Well, I think, too, and you were listening, and both sides sitting down and having discussions, of course, that wasn't the beef and pork, but it's vitally important that they understand, too. I brought up with practically everybody I met, not only in Italy, but in the EU representatives, Andrew Titus, the commissioner, and Bill Hogan, and other people. Along with the Italian Minister of Agriculture, I certainly brought it up. It's important. They're the importer and we're the seller, but you have to follow by the rules. We have rules with the CETA agreement, and it's they have to follow the rules. I explained to them about what we went through with the U.S. on COOL, and also indicate that there's the purchases of our Durham wheat are somewhat concerned here too. So they want, I indicated to them that they need to also put pressure on the government that if you're going to have a regulatory process, you have a regulatory process. And it's only fair. They have to make sure that the, and along with it, abide by the rules that, that are in the set of agreement. So, yes, it was certainly brought up.
Okay. A follow-up then. With the NAFTA talks ongoing, you spent time with Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. Can you fill us in on what your conversations with him were about and if there's mutual concern about the pessimism, the continued threats of the U.S. leaving NAFTA?
Well, of course, I had discussions with Sonny Perdue and not a whole lot on how the NAFTA negotiations were going. But the fact is we have very capable negotiators at the table. But you hear all the talk as I do, Kelvin, and they have the authority, the precedent, if we spoke about tearing it up or bringing a deal to the table. And what will happen is difficult to know. We have the very capable negotiators at the table, and it's going to be done fair. We need a right deal, and we're not going to sign any deal. We need a right deal. Now, we have said many times that it was we know who decided or urged that we review the NAFTA agreement, and we get capable negotiators there. But it has to be fair for both. If this deal has been good for agriculture, as you know, the exports have quadrupled across North America. I think the economic, the economic community is well aware of the benefits of NAFTA too. So anywhere I've spoken, as you know, I've been down through the states and met with congressmen, state representatives, industry people. I've not met many people. In fact, I don't recall one that has indicated to me that NAFTA was a bad thing. But mostly what I heard from the American people was be careful. Don't fix something that's not really broken. So that's basically where we are. And that's how we're going to take care of our Canadian industries.
All right. Thanks for your time, Minister.
Thank you very much, Captain. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. The next question is from Kelsey Johnson from iPolitics. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Minister.
Hi, Kelsey. Hi, Kelsey.
I want to follow up actually on Kelvin's question. Going back to Italy for a minute, did your Italian counterpart give any indication that they're planning to take this to WTO?
No, I wasn't told that at any meeting.
Okay, and going to NAFTA, you said earlier that anything to do with supply management is a non-starter. If that's the case, why are the Americans putting this on the table?
Well, I cannot respond to what the Americans put on the table, but as you're fully aware, Kelsey, I have indicated many, many times in the House of Commons, but along with it, the Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and the Minister of Agriculture have indicated that this is a system for the world. The fact is, we as a party created the system, and as a government, we're going to defend it, and we are. It's a good system. It supplies great product for Canadians, and it's a stable industry right across the country, the supply management system.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you. The next question is from Corey Nutt from Golden West Radio. Please go ahead.
Minister, with your government's plans to cut the small business tax rate from 10.5 to 9%, just wondering your thoughts on how that will affect farmers.
Well, of course, what I have to, number one, agree, I don't believe anything has been announced on that yet. There's some speculation that will take place, but of course I'm pleased with anything that can be an asset to the agricultural sector, and of course it will be an asset for the agricultural sector. What it means is that we want to make sure that, number one, we have a fair tax system, but we want to make sure that that the small business tax is in place, and we want more people to invest more dollars to make sure their business or their corporation expands and hire more people. And whether you go into the value added or whatever sector you wish, it does nothing but help the economy of our country.
And just one more follow-up. Any update on the pulse fumigation situation with India? Has there been an extension granted there?
I have not. I'm in Europe, but I know of nothing that has been announced as of yet. But there's still work. Of course, our officials are certainly working hard with the Indian officials to make sure it's done.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Minister McCauley.
Thank you, Paul. I just want to thank everybody for participating. It's been a great tour that we've had. I believe we've picked up some markets, just like in Anuga at the trade show. They tell me they signed $32 million in new business and potential of between $300 and $350 million in new business potential. So this is the kind of thing we want to see happen. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended, and we thank you for your participation.